Mr. Rich Eisen.
All right, hour number three of the Rich Eisen Show is on the air. If you missed the first 2 hours, you missed a great chat with Desmond Howard about the college football playoff, and then a very surprising opinion that he has on the Heisman Trophy voting that's going to take place in the next couple weeks. This just in, Desmond has a vote in the Heisman Trophy. And we just also had a terrific conversation with Mina Kimes of ESPN and NFL Live and the Mina Kimes Show that you can get where all podcasts are acquired, just like this Rich Eisen Show. If you missed any of that, don't worry. Right here on the Roku channel, we re-air right away. One more hour to go in this live show, and then all 3 hours, and then you can watch us on demand on the Roku channel. Portions of this program appear on our YouTube stream, youtube.com/Rich Eisen Show, our Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, @Rich Eisen Show. Just hang out and watch us for this next hour, and then catch us the next day right here on the Roku channel. And call us at 844-204-RICH. The Roku channel, by the way, is free. Patrick Peterson of the Minnesota Vikings. Patrick Peterson with potentially the toughest assignment in week number 13. Forget about the Niners taking on Tua and vice versa. Forget about the Bengals taking on Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs and vice versa. Forget about the Tennessee Titans taking on the Philadelphia Eagles and vice versa. There's only one Mike White in the National Football League. And he's a New York Jet. So Patrick Peterson and the Minnesota Vikings coming off of their Thanksgiving night win over the New England Patriots.
So quick fantasy thing real quick. I've been starting Derek Carr the last couple of weeks, but I finally dropped Russell Wilson today, picked up Mike White. Who should I start?
Carr has been terrific.
Carr's been great the last couple weeks. Carr against the Chargers or Mike White against the Vikings?
Food for thought. Food for thought. My power rankings coming up shortly here on the program, but we have not spoken at all in the first 2 hours about what started at the top of hour number three yesterday. At this very moment is when the U.S. men's national team took on Iran, needing a win, and they got a win because in a 1-0 victory.
Nil, Rich.
1-0 victory, pardon me, because Christian Pulisic put his men's nationals on the line.
Put his Pulisics
on Pulisics
the line.
On the line. Look, what this man did in putting his body in the line of danger to try and light the lamp, if there is such a lamp.
His lamps got lit.
They did. Well, the only lamp in Qatar is Aladdin's? Right? I don't know. Hey, what he did.
It was awesome.
Put it in the net, and it does appear the knee of the Iranian keeper met the Pulisics head on. And he goes down, and he also face planted.
Oh.
Couldn't finish the second half, and the U.S. men's national team almost didn't either. And the U.S. completes the necessary victory, and they move on to the knockout stage as Christian Pulisic just went right down in a heap. Now, look, I've been covering sports for quite some time. Fortunate enough to be in this position quite some time, not just in the show, but various national television and radio outlets. Been at it a while. I thought the worst spin job in the history of sports spin jobs was the phrase wardrobe malfunction. Okay? I thought.
It was pretty bad.
Wardrobe malfunction. You all know that it was a little bit more than a malfunction in that Super Bowl halftime show. But calling Christian Pulisic's injury a pelvic contusion, I believe, might be your new clubhouse leader.
Doing a lot of heavy lifting.
Pelvic contusion. Who's the one who came up with that one? I tip my cap to that individual. He got hit in the nards. What are we going to call it? We can't just say, you know.
I'm just going to put up a poll.
What are we going to call it? I got it. We'll call it a pelvic contusion. And everybody, whatever, and then the U.S. men's national team is like, that's it. Good job. Put it out there. And Pulisic, he went to the hospital. Did you see that?
Oh, yeah.
There's a photograph of him in his hospital bed saying, I'll be there on Saturday. I'm in. He went to the hospital for that.
I mean, that's
how much of a direct hit it took.
But remember when it happened? We all like were watching the replay because we couldn't figure out what exactly happened. Like,
oh, I know, because he went down and he was holding
and
his stomach.
The way they hit were very odd. Like, he got hit into someone, and then
I think Jeff Shreves called it an abdomen injury.
Yeah,
because he was holding his stomach.
He was holding it, but like,
and anybody
you know,
out there who's taken a direct hit, it goes right here.
Yeah,
right,
it is an abdomen injury.
If I understand.
Anybody out there who's had a pelvic contusion before knows how it feels.
Yeah, don't feel good.
Doesn't feel.
About once a week I get one.
But how did the workshop session go for that?
For the phrasing?
Yeah. Did somebody, please tell me, somebody said it's an INT. Like, wait a minute. It's not an interception. What are we? Why are we calling it an INT? What's an INT? Is that a medical term? No, it stands for Iranian nut tap.
Ballin.
He suffered an INT. It wasn't a tap, so we can't call it that. Oh my goodness!
How stressful was the second half?
You want to talk about the actual
game? Well, I was just going to kind of move us away from this a little bit.
And the number of I just love the casual fans who just have this nationalist moment, want to win this game. There's some geopolitical things on the line, to say the least, and I just use the words geopolitical and things back to back. Okay, so, but everyone just, the number of people who, you know, and me too, I'm just sitting there like complaining about the defense. And all I've been to is an Angel City FC match in the last year, right?
Yep.
And you and I watched the LAFC.
I've been to LAFC.
Okay, and Gareth Bale, who's now out. Wales out, US in. We're sitting here, I'm like, are we playing prevent defense here? Like, what's going on? But there was the 99th minute?
Even
Rich Eisen show stoppage time expert Mike Del Tufo, you were surprised that the 9 minute
went above. It went above.
Nine minutes of extra time. So what are we doing? That's almost as long as a Fox Sports college football commercial break. 9 minutes.
Got to pay the bills.
And there was one moment where they went to the old VAR. The only thing I think more arbitrary, since I'm now a World Cup expert, only thing more arbitrary than figuring out stoppage time is VAR. When the ref goes like this, you know what? This is an international symbol of also anything can happen. Absolutely anything can happen. Anything can happen. Some FIFA dude, you know, Sepp Blatter's grandson, who probably got the gig because Sepp got him in there, he's the one who's looking at the whole thing and just anything can happen. And I thought one of our defenders pulled down.
He was like,
he did give him a little
kind of on his shoulder, but they were saying on the broadcast, they were saying that referee famously did not call a penalty on something way worse earlier in the World Cup. So they were kind of confident that it wasn't going to get called.
Nothing is more rock solid in World Cup officiating than precedence, right?
I know.
Give me a break. This means
I thought we were getting screwed.
It was going to be with 10 seconds to go.
PK with a 10-second
equalizer.
Yeah, yep. That's what I thought, too.
Where it goes in and then blow the whistle.
Sorry. And we're out.
We're out.
Yeah.
That's our World Cup soccer update for you right here.
More importantly, Rich, hit the England-USA parlay yesterday.
Oh, okay.
Let's go. I got Argentina-Mexico today, and I got Argentina with Messi scoring a goal. Let's go.
Okay. More, I guess, germane to the subject matter. Saturday morning.
Well, 7 a.m.
Pacific.
10 a.m. Eastern.
United States, Netherlands. The Dutch.
U.S. big underdogs, plus 350 right now.
What does that mean?
That means bet a dollar, win $3.50.
Oh, okay. So
we're big underdogs.
Well, it has nothing to do with the what's the goal? Like, we get like are we minus a 1.5 or something like that? Is that how it works?
Half. You can get half.
I get half.
Okay. Yeah.
I
mean.
Or plus, we're getting goals, right?
We're getting goals. I hope we score a goal.
Going against the Dutch. Okay.
Dutch minus money right now.
So it's us versus Rick Smits. What do we got?
I think
so. I don't know what else.
Famous Netherlandians?
No, famous
Netherlands.
Dutch people,
yeah.
Right?
I don't know.
From
Vincent van Gogh, so we're axing all of our Van Goghs right now.
What do you got?
Not a lot here.
You know
actually.
What? Here's what we're going to do. Here's what we're going to do, Chris.
Rutger Hauer?
We can't just do this off the top of our
Rutger
heads.
Hauer,
we can't just do this.
Right.
We're going to have. Guys, we have 2 more days
we
to
do
hype
two, we
this.
We do have 2 more days. Yeah.
So okay, we're going to hype this match in the only way the Rich Eisen Show can, which is to take the angle of who are famous Dutch people that we're going to have to punk.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah, the guy from Blade Runner.
Yeah, Rutger Hauer.
The guy from Blade Runner.
One way to put
Rutger Hauer.
You know him.
I don't think he's with us anymore, Rutger Hauer, right? May he rest in peace. All right. Let's take a phone call.
Melisandre from Game of Thrones is from the Netherlands.
Lady Melisandre.
Good. 844-204-RICH, number to dial. Kyle in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania has been hanging on patiently listening to the first 2+ hours of high quality content, The Rich Eisen Show. You there, Kyle?
Kyle?
You gotta lower your radio, sir. Lower your radio and let's talk.
Lower your radio and let's talk.
Uh
oh. Hey, I just wanted to. Can you hear me?
Yes.
So, hey, Rich, long-time listener who calls sometimes when I get really when things get under my skin. Gonna sit with my chest and put on a cup of Nick Saban first tears. How in the world is Alabama being considered for the college football playoff? First, I'm gonna start by saying congrats to Michigan. I'm a Penn State fan.
Attaboy.
It hurts to say that.
Okay.
One loss, anyone who is in the top three and didn't lose, doesn't lose in the conference, and they're still in, right? And how do teams, especially Ohio State and Alabama, sneak in if somebody loses? They weren't even good enough to make it through the extra game, the conference championship. And how in the world does any media pundit talk about Michigan or anyone else to strike the schedule if we're out of conference? Alabama played L.A. Monroe, Austin Peay, and Utah.
Oh, that whole thing, and I appreciate the call, Kyle. Thank you so much for hanging on as long as you did and giving us some food for thought right there. It seems like we had an echo or something like that with his phone.
Yeah, yeah.
So here's the deal. First of all, I don't think Alabama's being considered. They're just in the mix. They're on the, I guess to use an urban traffic phrase, in the outer ring, right? I mean, they're in the outermost ring of possible, like, you've got to have Kansas State blowing out TCU to the point where TCU is just can't even be considered anymore. And then USC loses to Utah. And then the College Football Playoff Committee puts in Ohio State and Alabama. And then it's up to them to say, okay, we haven't seen Alabama and Georgia all year. Do we want to see it now? And do we want to replay Michigan, Ohio State just a month later? Do we want to run it back or not? Or do we want to switch it up and see, kind of do what we just saw in hoops, right? The last couple nights, the ACC Big Ten Challenge. You got an SEC Big Ten Challenge. one on one side of the bracket, one on the other, and off we go. So I don't think Alabama's being considered in that, but they're absolutely still alive, I would say that for sure. And I'll be honest. It does come down to, as well, there has to be part of it. I don't think they'll admit it. Although, have we ever had a CFP official on this program? Maybe we could reach out or something once it's already done or in advance. But look, part of this does matter when it comes to relevance and ratings and who's watching. And I don't understand why they keep doing this on New Year's Eve. It's just, I don't get it. I don't understand it. New Year's Eve, all right. So who do you want to watch on New Year's Eve? It really does matter. Who's going to give you a compelling game or not? Who's going to be of interest to you to watch or not? I'd proffer to say Alabama's pretty damn big at that. And Ohio State can raise its hand and say we've got that too. As their latest game, a 22-point beclowning, was seen by the largest television audience to watch a college football game on Fox Sports ever. And the largest, what, of any network in the last decade plus, I think. Can include any of the family of networks on ESPN. It does so. It does matter. Look, everybody take care of business. TCU takes care of business against Kansas State, USC the night before against Utah, and this thing is all about the seeding, and that's the end of that. Okay. You guys ready? Are you ready?
Is it time?
Are you ready?
It's a Wednesday.
CJ, are you ready?
To the thousands in attendance.
It's a Wednesday. I need to call it up. Because I do remember mostly of it. But here we go. Hit it.
This is my
power rankings. That's right. It's a Wednesday on the Rich Eisen Show. We got power rankings, and this is going to be the first power ranking to take you into December.
Let's go, Rich.
Everybody. Look, number 10 on my list last week was the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. They're not on the list anymore. They're not on the list
okay,
anymore.
Fair.
Who's number 10 on the list? I had to look for a team that had a very good defense and a quarterback that's red hot. Good defense. Red hot quarterback, you're going to win football games. And I had to look for a team that might, you know, that's already in a wild card position. Number 10 on the list, the New York Jets.
Hey.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes. Garrett Wilson and Elijah Moore and that rest of the offense had Mike White finding him in stride in a driving friggin' rain. And Quinnen Williams on the front end and Sauce on the back end.
Too much Sauce.
That's number 10 on my list.
Just made the list.
Number 7 in the wild card rankings and the AFC rankings. The New York Jets, number 9 on the list, down a spot. I still like them. I still think they're one of the best teams in the NFL, and they will give anybody a good game, as the Eagles will find out this week. Not even lose to the Tennessee Titans, who are down one spot, number 9 on this list. Oh, my gosh. Derrick Henry fumbled into the end zone. That's how Treylon Burks scored his touchdown. And then the Bengals, they made it. The Bengals were just a stout team, man. And I think we're going to find out a little bit more about the Cincinnati Bengals moving on. The Titans are still number 9 on the list. And number 8 on my list, right above them, back on the list, are the aforementioned Cincinnati Bengals. God, I love this team. I love watching Joe Burrow play football. And this week against the Chiefs will be lit. I love the defense getting better. I do love their kicker, as you know, Evan McPherson. He had a little bit of a slump in the middle of the season, but the guy who can just stay out of the locker room during the Super Bowl halftime to watch Snoop Dogg has reemerged. And the Bengals going into Tennessee, minus Jamar Chase and Joe Mixon, they're number 8 on my list because of that. They're back on the list. Number 7 are the Minnesota Vikings. They're up 2 spots. I popped them down from the top 5 all the way to the bottom 5 with that loss, that dreadful loss to the Dallas Cowboys. But hey, you got to say this about the Minnesota Vikings when they did what they did on Thanksgiving night against the New England Patriots. You're supposed to see Kirk Cousins going to the turtle position under the nationally televised lights, and you're not supposed to see the opponent's best player light it up, because that's what Bill Belichick notoriously is supposed to take away from you. And Justin Jefferson and Kirk Cousins had a night. And I do love their defense, despite a last couple of weeks not performing very well. I do like Big Z, and obviously Patrick Peterson's joining us shortly. Put it all together, there's 7. Number 6 on my list, I keep wanting to put this team in the top 5, but the other top 5 are still so rock solid. The Miami Dolphins are knocking on the door. Let's just put it this way. They beat the 49ers this week. They're in my top 5. Tua is just dynamite. I had him number 3 on my MVP list, 1 through 5, and the top 5 list that we did in yesterday's show. They're number 6, and then the top 5, I just had a little bit of a reordering, although the Buffalo Bills are still staying at number 5 on this list. This is as low as they've ever been all year. They haven't been out of the top 5 of my power rankings all year long. They're number five after that Josh Allen throw to him. And the final drive over the middle with a supposed still gimpy right elbow. And that was concerning to me. I kept hearing that in the broadcast from Tony Romo talking about over and over again about how Josh Allen might be feeling pain in his elbow and he needs to just rip it and throw using his base and his legs, which means Allen might have told Romo something, that Romo was kind of dropping nuggets in that broadcast. I'm concerned about his elbow, but not about the Buffalo Bills to drop them any worse than five. Number four, I did drop them down one. This offense just sputters at the wrong times, man. And it's your Dallas Cowboy offense. That's why they need Odell Beckham. Yeah, I dropped him one. I dropped him one. Going for it.
I thought you were talking about the Niners.
No. I dropped Dallas one.
Dropped us?
I did drop you.
Who this
I dropped you. I dropped you. If you had an offense better than the one that the Giants brought in, and you turn it over on downs, and you throw an interception, that game had usual Dallas Cowboy Thanksgiving Day troubles written all over it until Dallas finally got its footing back in the second half of that game. Number three on the list, up one spot.
Tell Micah this.
Are the Eagles? I still take the Eagles over the Cowboys right now. I know Mina Kimes said that it was a matchup problem for the Cowboys this next time around. Philadelphia Eagles look so damn impressive on Sunday night against Green Bay, and I know Green Bay did have success running the ball against him. Jordan Davis is coming back, and then no change. I know the 49ers did not light it up against the Saints, and so many people are discounting him. I think the Saints defense, when they are balling, are one of the best in the NFL. I'm concerned about the Bucs on Monday night for that reason alone. You know they put a number on them. And the 49ers defense, though, carried the day. Sometimes this offense is not going to put it all together against a defense that can really, really put some pressure on Jimmy G. But I still think the 49ers are the best team in the NFC after 12 weeks entering week 13. And the Chiefs still sit number one on my power rankings list. Hey, you know, it wasn't anything to write home about against the Rams, but is there a better combination in the NFL right now than Mahomes and Kelce? There's Tua and Hill, right?
Tua and Hill.
What else you got for me?
Mike White and anyone he throws to.
Good one. Kirk Cousins and Justin Jefferson.
Yeah, I mean, that's obviously pretty good.
Mahomes to Kelce. That might be number one in the league, too.
Mike White and anyone
he throws to.
I'd love it.
Including just a little dump-off pass, a little screen.
Mac Jones and Hunter Henry when the refs call it right.
That's a good one.
That's a good one.
Nice and bitter. That's my power rankings here on the Rich Eisen Show. Let's take a break. Patrick Peterson of the Minnesota Vikings is going to be joining
us
on the other side. Yes, number four.
I'm texting Micah right now.
Dude,
Hold on, go get
Odell Beckham Jr. You need him.
I'm just saying.
You could use him.
Dear Micah, you won't believe what Rich just said.
Influencer. It's a word that gets tossed around a lot these days. There is a woman who went the distance, who broke ground as the first true influencer by living a remarkable life. Her name, Elizabeth Taylor. I'm Katy Perry. This is the story of the original influencer. This is Elizabeth the First. Elizabeth the First, the podcast, wherever you listen.
The World Tournament of Soccer happening in Qatar is finally here. And with all the weird kickoff times and all the other sports happening simultaneously, it can be kind of hard to keep up. So to make sure you're up to speed, be sure to listen to Qatar Kick Around for the daily wrap-up of all the action from the tournament. From the group stage all the way to the final, Andy, Lars, and Peter are here for you with recaps and opinions of what happened that day in Qatar. Everything can be found at thekickaround.com, the Cumulus podcast channel on YouTube, or wherever you listen.
Joining us on the Mercedes-Benz Vance phone line is one of our favorites. Been a while. When was the last time Patrick Peterson was on this
program? I think last time he called in, he was on the golf course, actually.
Oh, let's see where he is right now. Joining us from the Minnesota Vikings, fresh off a Thanksgiving night win against the New England Patriots from your NFC North leading Minnesota Vikings, Patrick Peterson. How you doing, Patrick?
I'm doing great. Yourself, Rich?
Are you golfing now? Where are you?
I'm in my car right now, heading back to the facility, and the road is white as ice.
That's right. Now, that's a very stupid thing for me to say, clearly, when you were in Arizona, we could talk about playing golf on November 30th.
Right.
That ain't happening right now for you.
Nah, right? Nah, that's definitely not happening here in Minnesota.
What a dumb question for me to start with right now. What a dumb way for me. Of course you're not playing golf.
It's not dumb questions, Rich. Just
not playing golf. So do you do any winter sports? Are you a winter sports guy at all, Patrick?
I am not a winter sport guy at all, but Rich, I did.
Yes.
You know, PlayStation just did, Sony just sent me over a PlayStation.
Okay.
I did just get the new Tiger Woods golf game.
Oh, well, there you
go. And I'm pretty legit right now. My handicap on there is a -5 right now.
You're giving five shots back to the virtual course? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, no doubt about it. No doubt about it. Every ball is down the fairway. I just got to work on the putting.
Okay. Not allowed, you know. That's the key. That's the key, whether it's virtual or real. Oh my gosh! So it is. How was the Thanksgiving? When was the last time you played on Thanksgiving? Is that a first for you too?
This was a first for me, and the day was kind of the same as it'd been in the past because we had the later game.
Mm-hmm.
So I, you know, got home around 11, and we had meetings in the morning. Had a little Thanksgiving lunch around 12:30-ish.
Okay.
Didn't eat too crazy because I'm not a real big eater on game day. Don't want to be too heavy. We all know what Thanksgiving food can do after a couple hours. So I didn't want to indulge too much. So I did have a plate. The wife did an amazing job of whipping up the Thanksgiving dinner. We had stuffing. We had turkey. We had some mac and cheese. We had some yams. We had a little bit of everything. But I had to go on a little bit on the light side. But after the game, Rich?
Yes, sir.
I dug in.
What'd you do? Well, wait, hold on a minute. So, like a midnight? You had a midnight
dinner plate.
You had a midnight dinner plate? Is that what you did?
Oh, yeah. A big one, too.
Oh, you also had the turkey leg, right? You got the turkey leg.
Yes. Yeah, I had the turkey leg before I got home to have the wife's turkey leg.
So, how was the NBC turkey leg? Was it properly cooked? What do you got? What happened?
It was properly cooked, but it was a little bit on the dry side. So. Coming from a chef, you know, Chef P2, I think they need to do a little bit of a take the cooking time up a little bit. Don't cook it so early.
Did you just refer to yourself as Chef P2? Did I just hear that?
Yeah, Rich, I can really throw down, Rich. I really can.
All right, give it. What's the dish? If I come over to the Peterson house, what do you got? What do we got?
Man, honestly, Rich, I make whatever you feel like eating.
Oh, really?
Oh.
Really? Well, I'm really lucky for you. I don't have very. I'm not a spice guy. You know.
So I can get you you'll be good with a ham and cheese sandwich. Then?
Well, not exactly ham. Certainly not on Friday night for me, Patrick. But I mean, you know, I know you spent time in Baton Rouge. I'm not really a spice guy.
Yeah.
I'm not that guy. I'm straight up. I'm like a Thanksgiving dinner is really, you know, that for me is right. That hits us. Italian food. Can you cook? What do you got?
Man, I'm a master of pasta, man. I just made a pasta last night that was so good. I had to bring it in to some of the people at the staff to try it.
Well, hold on a second. When you say pasta, though, I mean, are you making it from scratch? Or you're just boiling water and putting it in a pot.
No,
I mean, what do we got?
So when I'm back home because I'm in Minnesota now. When I'm home, yes. I do make my own pasta.
Impressive.
But yes. When I'm here, I did boil my water, but I made my own sauce.
Oh, what's the sauce? What is it?
I made a little Mardi Gras sauce last night. So it had a little lemon, a little white wine, had a little scallops in there, green onions, a little garlic, I had some heavy whipping cream in there to make the white sauce. Man, hey, I got it, man.
Well, speaking of white and sauce, ready for the turn here? Mike White and Sauce Gardner are coming to town.
Wow.
How about that?
Well done.
They are.
What do you think?
I set you up for that one.
Yes. Yeah. I feel like it's that meme, right? What LeBron's dunking and Dwayne Wade is just like put his arms out. Like
Russ at midfield.
That's it right there. Yeah, Russ at midfield. There it is.
Wide open.
There it is. All right. What are you seeing on film already with the Mike White experience? You checking out that film already? Have you got? Dived into it?
Oh, definitely checked out the film. Mike White, just looking at from the game last week, mm-hmm. You can just tell that he's a guy that's not going to put his team in bad situations, though. You can, looking at the tape, you can tell that the offensive coordinator trusts him. you know, the offense really haven't changed much. I'll probably say the biggest difference is he's not turning the ball over, you know. So we know we have our plate full on trying to force him into mistakes. We know that he's very, very smart with football. And having a big game last week, that does nothing but grow more confidence in his coordinator and play caller to be able to unleash him a little bit more. So it's a little bit dangerous, you know, going into this situation, not having much film on him and having the game that he had last week. You kind of go in there kind of hoping that you know what's gonna happen. But after the first 15 plays in the game, you kind of get a general idea of how they want to attack you.
Well, I mean,
and,
go for it. Sauce, what do you think?
Yeah, man, Sauce has just been phenomenal. You know, I haven't been able to watch much film on him, but, you know, just seeing some of the highlights, just watching his movements. The thing I love about him the most is that he played with his length very well. You know, he has very, very long arms, can put his hands on receivers, very physical at the line of scrimmage. The guy has everything in his game to be, you know, known as a great cornerback in his league. So I'm definitely going to be intrigued to see how his career unfolds, but he's starting off on the right foot for sure.
Yeah, and there's a lot of heat around this young man in terms of hype talk, and he certainly walks it too. I mean, he is backed up.
Oh, yeah.
He's backed up a lot of this hype. I'm wondering, you must have a front row seat to watching Justin Jefferson prepare for games in which somebody of Sauce's level and hype surrounding a young guy. Not everyone's. There's a few people with this sort of game who is actually younger than Justin Jefferson, where he's the OG in the matchup. But I'm just wondering, does he approach a game like this saying, I'll show him that he's got his hands full, that sort of thing, Patrick?
No, not at all. Justin wants to just show up and play his game each and every Sunday. What people are accustomed to seeing, you know, him do on a Sunday basis, you know. So for the most part, you know, Justin is looking at this matchup as he look at each and every other matchup. You know, he want to go out there. He know he's going to get team's best shot. He know he's going to, you know, get, you know, double team, two man. He has to find a way to overcome that, and he's been doing a great job of that throughout this season. And no matchup is ever too big for him. Or I don't think he, you know, put any matchup above the other one. He just want to go out there and try to perform at his best each and every time he stepped out there on the football field.
What was it like, Patrick Peterson, in the film room, if you did watch it as a group, watching back his catch against the Buffalo Bills on that fourth down? What was that like?
Man, it was pretty wild, man. Guys still was just amazed on, you know, him catching the ball. I had a front row seat. I was right on the sideline when the play all unfolded because it's fourth and 18. We have to get this first down. If we don't, the game is pretty much over. So I wanted to see everything that happened. I saw Kirk get the snap. I saw him get a little under pressure a little bit. That back hitch stepped up in the pocket, and he delivered a high ball. When I first saw it, I was like, damn, that looked like it was a little bit too high. And just Justin just went and climbed the ladder to make a great play for us. But guys were still amazed after seeing it on the plane. The next day, the day after that, when he got the offensive player of the week, you know, it kept being, you know, a fun reminder on how amazing Justin is for us.
Patrick Peterson here on the Rich Eisen Show. Obviously, the Eagles, Cowboys, they're right there in the NFC East, the Northeast Corridor, where there's a lot of media attention for Philadelphia. The 49ers go ahead, get McCaffrey. Those are the teams that we hear quite a bit about. And then there's the 9-2 Vikings. What's your sense of the value that people are placing in your team and your chances to shock everybody who you think don't really need to be shocked? What do you got for me on that?
Well, honestly, Rich, you know, all the talk about teams and who's the better team, who's the best team, really don't matter at this point. You know, at the end of the day, we just want to continue doing the things that we need to do to be one of those 14 teams in the playoffs. Then from there, all bets are off, you know, because you can go back year after year after year after year, the number one teams that's been, you know, guys who've been predicted to win Super Bowls haven't won the Super Bowls. Like last year, nobody even thought the Bengals would make the playoffs. you know, the year after that, nobody thought that, you know, Tennessee would continue to put on the run that they've been putting on. Nobody's been talking about them for years, and they've been in, you know, two or three NFC, you know, two or one NFC championship, you know, winning season every year. Only thing that we want to do is worry about us. We want to continue to talk about us. You know, long as we know what we're doing each and every week and we're collecting dubs at the end of the day, we want to be talked about at the end of the season. So being talked about now is all fine and dandy with us because it really don't matter.
And what are you seeing out of Cousins, man? Well, what's happening on the plane when he takes his shirt off? What the hell's going on at 35,000 feet, Patrick? What's going on there?
I think, you know, we wanted to kind of up each and every one that we did. I think we kind of ran out of options now. So I don't know what's going to happen next.
Well, it's a good thing you're home, man. You know, you don't have to try... You know, on the plane, let me see your next road game. You're at Detroit. I don't know if you bus there. Hold on a minute. Yeah, and then at Green Bay, at Chicago. Okay. Maybe you don't have to worry about many plane flights at all on that front.
Yeah, we don't have to worry about many plane flights, but at the same time, it's going to be cold in those places, so we don't want to catch any pneumonia or anything like that.
Yeah, shirts on, man. It's a shirts on situation from here on out. I agree with you.
Yeah, no doubt about it.
But it does seem like you guys love him. It does seem like you guys rally around Kirk Cousins, Patrick. It looks like it to me.
Yeah, man. Kurt is the man, man. And it's just the way he carries himself and the way he just fit right in as one of the guys. It goes a long way because, you know, I play, you know, you could been on a bunch of teams to where the quarterback is the quarterback. He's not participating in some of the team, you know, functions or and things like that as far as taking a shirt off, putting a bunch of chains on. You just don't see that, you know, around the league, and Kirk, he understands how much, you know, he means to us and, you know, how much we love to see him come out of his shell as well. It just makes it that much more fun.
So it's just let's say Kirk Cousins has a birthday party at his house, right? how many guys show up to his birthday party? Patrick, what do you think?
Oh, everybody's showing up. And if Kirk's inviting everybody to the party, mm-hmm. everybody's showing up.
Okay.
Sure.
All right.
Ooh,
okay. Okay. Wow. Just want to know. Did you hear that story out of Denver? Did you hear about that story, Patrick? You must not have.
What happened? I heard someone reference to it. Was it no one came to us?
Well, not no one.
Well,
apparently only
not
half.
Not everybody.
Not everyone. A half full. Let's be positive. His party was half full of his teammates.
Half
yes.
of 53. That's a lot of people.
When did he have it? He had it on a Monday or Tuesday?
He had it on an off night.
Tuesday.
Off night.
Yeah, yesterday.
Off night.
So Tuesday, so people got to wake up on Wednesdays. You got practice the next day. That's the hardest day of the week.
Okay.
You should have had it on a Monday.
Was it on a Monday night?
I don't know.
Nobody knows, Patrick.
Nobody knows.
Nobody knows. But Kirk's
got make sense.
Kirk's birthday.
I'm just trying to soften it up a little bit. That's all.
I know it. Kirk is his birthday is when? Is it in August? Is that what it is?
August 19th.
Okay, there you go. You have it in training camp. That's what you have to do.
Yeah.
Okay. And certainly in the summer, it's easier to take your shirt off.
Yeah.
You know, and have
Patrick's birthday is July the 11th.
July
11th. Everyone will come.
Everyone's coming to yours.
Yeah.
Okay.
So the only thing about mine is my birthday is always in Tahoe. So I'm always at Edgewood, Tahoe, the week of my birthday. And yes, I have all of my friends there. However many guys that's in the tournament, we all have a great time on my birthday.
Okay. Very good. And it's just like, I guess, like Russ's birthday party at the Stableford scoring system. The positives are the negatives, right? Just like that. Positives are the negatives.
Yeah, exactly.
There you go. Wow. Patrick Peterson, good luck to you, sir. Oh, one last thing. Is LSU going to shake things up on the college football playoff stuff this weekend or what?
Man, I don't know. Is Daniels out? I saw he took a big hit. I haven't got any information on
Chris, you're our Georgia Bulldog expert. Is he out? Do we know?
Hitting the Google machine? It looks like Jane's going to play.
It looks like it.
Looks like he's playing.
Okay.
Yeah, we're going to give him a run for the money then. We're going to shock the world.
Okay.
Go Tigers.
There you go. Thank you, Patrick Peterson. Be well. Chat soon.
All right, Rich. Always good. Great to talk to you guys.
Right back at you. At P2 on Twitter. Give him a follow. At Real Patrick Peterson on Instagram. He's one of our favorites right there. Boy, we're dumb. We're so stupid.
That's the whole point.
For the birthday thing?
No.
Oh. That's what
the first question is, are you playing golf?
Yeah.
He's in Minnesota. It's November 30th. You're on the golf course?
You never know. I mean, Rich,
come on.
Global warming? I don't know.
Please.
Jeez.
Rich is going to not. Rich is going to think about this the rest of the week.
No, I'm not. Just tonight. 844-204 Rich number to dial. We'll wrap up this show in a moment, and Chris Brockman will use this commercial break to focus fully on the match he's been half paying attention to the last 20 minutes. Okay, folks. That's a fun show, huh?
Yeah, man.
Happy
yeah, man.
Happy 60th birthday, Bo Jackson.
Vincent Edward Bo Jackson.
60th birthday today. 35 years ago, he celebrated his 25th birthday in the Old Kingdom on a Monday night where he runs one 91 yards down the left sideline and into the tunnel for a touchdown. And everybody go YouTube it. He outruns his blockers to the sideline and beats everyone, Kenny Easley and everyone else on defense, to the sideline and goes untouched. Watch it. There's a bit of a false start, too, that isn't called, thank God. The fullback in front of him kind of moves early.
Really? Yeah, I'm watching it right now.
But
I'll post it on Twitter.
Outruns everyone to the sideline and then outruns everyone up the sideline. It's breathtaking.
He's so fast.
And then we all know famously later in the game it was a 2-yard run that everyone remembers as well, where the Boz was standing in his way and he ran through him.
You know, I think after all these years, the Boz has gotten a bad rap on that play. You go back and watch that. Lawrence Taylor's getting run over there. Ray Lewis is getting run. Name the greatest linebacker ever. On that play, on 2 yards, they're all getting run through.
Boz didn't get pancaked either.
No.
Like, he didn't wind
up on
his back.
He dragged him a little bit. But, looking back, I think Boz is kind of like taking some shrapnel. Who was going to stop Bo on that play?
I don't think anybody could stop Bo that night. He celebrated his 25th birthday in the Kingdom. And then there's another Kingdom video I tweeted out today. It's a throw in the Kingdom he made from the left field warning track. Okay?
To where?
Home plate. Beating Harold Reynolds, HR Puffin stuff, who got a great jump on the pitch. He's stealing second. He hit and run, and the ball goes all the way to the left field wall. And Bo throws a strike on the fly to Bob Boone, father of Aaron Boone, current Yankees manager. And Harold Reynolds is out at the plate by a couple of feet. And there's a massive argument that ensues. Jim LaFever, who was their manager at the time, comes out. And the reason why there's such a major argument wasn't arguing with the out call because they thought he was safe. They were arguing with the out call because the home plate umpire had to make the call all the way out at third base up the line, because the third base umpire went all the way out to the left field wall to follow the ball. And the first base umpire didn't come home to home plate to make the call because nobody thought Bo could make the throw from where he made it. Like, mass confusion reigned after a throw. When was the last time you saw a throw like that? And then you watch the replay. Harold Reynolds, as he's running, rounding third and going home, runs past the home plate umpire who's running out towards left, running up.
Right.
I've never seen anything like that before. And then you just see Bo just like stick his uniform back in his pants.
Ho-hum.
Yeah, that's it.
The only throw like that, too, is remember Ichiro's rookie year? He had a throw like that, throwing out a guy at third.
Unbelievable.
Where you're like, whoa.
And by the way, Harold Reynolds had a jump.
I know, like, and he's one of those. He was one of the best base dealers of his time. And I'll just, a food for thought question. Bo Jackson, is he the best baseball player to not be in the Baseball Hall of Fame? And is he the best football player to not be in the Pro Football Hall of Fame?
Well,
I know.
Barry Lamar Buns is in the Hall
skill
of Fame.
Skill set. Just throw it out there. His first home run nearly left Kansas City. It rests at the top of the green grass area, at the very top. I mean, the stuff he would do. Thanks to Patrick Peterson, Mina Kimes, and Desmond Howard for being on this program. Everybody, enjoy your Wednesday. We'll chat with you on Thursday.